We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us right now of MLB Network, you see him on Fox as well. Excellent writer is John Paul Morosi. John Paul, Joe and Evan.
John, how are you? How are you?
Joe and Evan, good morning. How is everything in the beautiful city of New York today?
For half of the town, phenomenal. It's really good. For the other half, it's depressing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're
on. Do I get to guess which half of the town is happy?
Yeah, and you're talking to the depressing half right here with us. Let me point that out.
Well, hey, there's all. No, there's not.
Don't tell me there's always next year.
I love this time of year because there's something in it for everyone.
No, there's
either
not.
You're going
not.
For the pennant or there's a trade.
No, you know what?
There's positivity somewhere, right?
John, don't give me this nonsense. As a Met fan, what? So they're going to dump salaries, get more garbage. They're going to trade guys away that they won't get as good as guys back for. So I'm supposed to be, I got something to look forward to? No, I don't.
I guess I would say this. The Mets were buyers in 2015, and the Tigers were on the downtrend, and of course they got Cespedes, who they give up, Michael Fulmer, and so there was a good story of a team trading a free agent to be and getting something back that's helped them out in the years since then. So next year could be better for the Mets because of the moves they make in the coming
week. And where's Cespedes now? He's in a witness protection program.
There's no question about that.
You know, where Cespedes is right now, it's impossible to get to that place from anywhere. Let me just tell you that.
There's no bridge that connects.
All right? You can't get there.
John, why? Manny Machado is a great player. And I preface this by saying he is a better player than Didi Gregorius, and he's a better player as of now than Miguel Andujar. With that said, right now, if you're the Yankees, why would you be pursuing Manny Machado?
So it's a great question, and here's how I would look at it. I think it only makes sense. I mean, not only makes sense, but the most logical reason for the Yankees to pursue Machado now is if they're giving serious thought to trading Andujar somewhere else for pitching. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say for the sake of argument that you know we've heard the Phillies linked to Machado in their own right. But let's say that they don't want to give up someone like a Zach Eflin, who pitched again last night, has pitched very well this season, for a rental player. So could you imagine a scenario in which the Yankees trade Andujar to Philadelphia for Eflin, so two controllable pieces for each other, similar really in a rhetorical sense to the Pineda-Montero trade all those years ago, but a young guy for a young guy from an area of strength to one where you need to address some weaknesses, and then you go out and separately get Machado. Then it makes sense. Then you're left with the left side of the infield of Didi and Machado, and you've traded Andujar for Eflin to upgrade your rotation without really adding a ton of money. If you think about the Yankees are trying so hard to stay under the luxury tax threshold, well, Eflin's making the minimum, and there are other guys that are like Eflin around the major leagues, I should make sure to say. Right. And so as long as you're adding only about $15 million or so of salary in total, you can make it work, and that would be the case for Machado plus Eflin, just as one example of what the Yankees could do.
Now, first of all, that's very interesting, because as we sit here speculating about Manny Machado and what they would do, the last thing we thought about was, hey, they may flip Andujar for a young, controllable piece like Zach Eflin. Is that out there? Is that a possibility? Is that something they would flirt with, both of them?
I think that it's a concept that has some traction. I can't say to you now that this is being seriously discussed. But it is a scenario in which I think both teams would be interested in discussing those players. I think they would not, for example, I was told flat out the Phillies right now would not trade Eflin for Machado because it's a young controllable piece for a rental for 2 months.
Right.
But I was not told similarly that they would be opposed considering him for Andujar. Andujar is a really good player.
Sure.
And I think that would address a longer-term need for Philadelphia. And, by the way, they've got a pretty good depth of young pitching that losing Eflin, I think, would not be catastrophic for them if their younger guys come up and do the job in that way. So I think it is a concept that generally is something that the sides would be open-minded to, but I cannot tell you right now that it's being discussed based on information I've got. I do not yet have that confirmed.
So if Machado came to the Yankees now, would they sign him? Are they going to re-sign him? I mean, what about that aspect of it?
Well, it's an interesting point, too, to kind of get into that, because I look at recent examples of major rental trades in baseball. And while there's always some level of optimism that you may keep the player, almost always, and certainly that was the case in Cespedes' example, I guess we could say, but you look at J.D. Martinez, did not sign with Arizona. John Lester did not sign with Oakland. It's pretty tough, in my estimation, to bring in a player of that caliber, especially someone in Machado's case, who, because of the way Harper has struggled at times this year, Machado's now in position to set the market. And that is something that is a very rare thing to be able to set the market when you're as young as Manny is and as talented as Manny is and you got multiple positions that you can play. So I think he is going to go to the highest bidder. Now that highest bidder may well be the Yankees if they've got him already in the fold, but I don't think there's going to be any sort of deal worked out in advance, extension reached in August or September, or at the deadline as a condition of the trade. I don't think there's any chance of that happening. I think Manny Machado is going to be a free agent in November, and he may well go back to wherever he is traded, right. But I think everything's going to reset at that point in time because he has got the chance to set a transformational contract as a free agent.
Sure, and he should. He's this close to free agency. Why not? I get he has the right to say and do whatever he wants. But if I'm a team that's interested in trading for him, I don't love, and it could be posturing, I admit that, but I don't love him saying, oh, I'm a shortstop. Wouldn't the better answer be, hey, I want to win? You know, if team asks me to play third base, I'll play third base. Team asks me to play left field, I'll play left field. What do you make of his insistence right now on being a shortstop?
Well, it's a really interesting topic to discuss on a couple different levels. I do think that from his own standpoint, his own belief in himself, that he believes he's a shortstop. And I think he likes the fact he's been able to play shortstop. I think that's really exciting for him. I think he came into Baltimore and accepted the role of third base because J.J. Hardy was there and out of respect to a veteran player. And I think Buck Showalter was really great in communicating that to him. I think the Orioles moved him this year because it's something he wanted to do. And I think certainly you make more money if you're a shortstop. We know that. Is it posturing? Is it... I think it's possible that it's sort of him saying his opinion because listen, if he does not have a no trade clause, okay, and so if he goes to a team like the Yankees that's going to use him at third base, what is he going to credibly do? Like not show up? Is he going to complain? That's going to cost him money too. So I think it's actually in some ways with him staking this opinion, it actually sets himself up to have maybe a positive outcome in the end if he goes to New York and says, hey, I'm a shortstop, I've said this all along, but I am so excited to be a Yankee and I'm so excited to pursue a World Series championship as a Yankee that I am excited to play third base for the New York Yankees. I mean, that will play well on this radio station if he says that, and we all know that. And I think that it sets himself up to have that moment, and so I think Manny's a very smart guy. I think he knows what he's doing, and believe me, if he's traded to the Yankees, he is not going to sit on the restricted list and not play. He'll play, and he'll play where Aaron Boone tells him to play.
All right, talking to John Paul Morosi, talking baseball with him. All right, so tell me what the Mets are going to dump at the trading deadline and what garbage they're going to get back. Let's hear about it.
Well, I'll probably try to use more charitable.
That is no charitable. It is. We know. I know better. But you could be charitable. I know the deal. Go ahead.
There you go. I would be surprised if DeGrom or Syndergaard are traded. I know there's been a lot of buzz about that in the last month or so, and certainly I think the Mets are going to be open-minded. I would just be really surprised if that occurs. I think they're out of their due diligence. They're going to do it, but the bar for them to make those trades will be so high that I don't think it's going to be met. Now, it could be met because there is not that much pitching out there. So in that level, I think they're actually in a pretty good circumstance to move them if they were willing to do it. But I think much more likely we're going to be talking about bullpen pieces, Familia, and then, of course, infielders like Cabrera in the last year of his deal. I think it's going to be those types of pieces for the Mets, which will bring back moderate prospects but not great ones. If the Mets want to have a serious rebuild and or a serious prospect haul, they've got to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard. I believe that. And the reason why I think they should at least entertain it, They're in a position where they're not as good now, obviously, as three other teams in the division. But their rebuild, or their building for the future, if you want to call it that, is not progressing at the rate that they've got it in Philadelphia or Washington. Or I should say Philadelphia or Atlanta.
Yeah, right.
So if you're not going to be as good as the Braves or the Phillies next year, then where are you competitively? And I think that for them to hit that spot and be able to be competitive with the Braves and the Phillies in 2 years' time at least, I think it makes a lot of sense to move DeGrom now, to move Syndergaard now, and have a rebuild similar to what the White Sox are doing right now. But that's a very hard thing to do, as you guys know, in New York City.
Here's the
key.
There's
no guarantee to getting back what's going to rebuild the
franchise. No, you
have to
pick the right guys, obviously.
Even if they do, who knows?
Here's my question, because this is very important. I've seen this year after year after year when the Mets have decided to sell. Going back to when they sold Billy Wagner to the Red Sox, are they willing, from what you hear, to include cash in trades to get better players back? That is always key. They didn't do it last year. They didn't do it with Billy Wagner. I'm not saying it's going to be crown jewel prospects, but you know as well as I do that if you include some money to pay part of these contracts, you'll get better returns. Are the Mets willing to do that from what you hear?
I believe they are. I believe they are. Now, it's obviously a question of extent and how much money they would include in there, but I believe they are because, in my estimation, this is going to be a cost of doing business at the deadline this year. When you think about the number of teams that are going for it, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees are close to an extent. The Red Sox are basically at the luxury tax threshold. You've got a number of teams that are in within range or at that number. And as a result, for them, every dollar added to the payroll is a massive concern for them. And so as a result, the cash-neutral trades for the acquiring teams are going to become all the rage in the coming weeks. And so if you're a team that says, hey, I can give you a good player that's going to help you, and I'll pay his entire salary, that is going to get you a phone call and a conversation and the ear of the GMs of the teams that I just mentioned. And I think that those teams that are very budget conscious, and they would value, I believe, the ability to reset their luxury tax obligations this winter more highly than the difference between their fifth best prospect and their 10th best prospect. In some years, that might not be the case. In some years, they may be more concerned about that delta of the prospects. But I think right now, because of the way that certain teams have spent to that level, they are more concerned about the dollars than the prospects. And as a result, you do get a much better prospect. So I think to seize upon that overall environment, guys, the Mets have to be open-minded to those types of trades.
Right now, they got a three-headed monster at as a GM. You know, they got three guys. They really got nobody.
Right.
No. The GM is Jeff.
Right. I understand that. But are they gonna bring a GM in here? They're gonna just give it to John Rico? I mean, what are they gonna do?
Well, it's a great question, and I think that at this point in time, obviously Sandy just stepping away several weeks ago. It's not entirely clear what they're going to do, to be honest with you, long term. I think that now they've obviously got, and with Omar and J.P. Ricciardi, they've got guys that have been the GM before, and John Rico has had a lot of responsibility in that organization for a very, very long time. He's been a very, very loyal executive there for the Mets. So I think we may see the eventual GM be someone from that group that just stays on, and it may well be John Rico. I think that the Wilpons trust him, and that's important. And so as a result, I think it's going to be status quo for the time being. I think John obviously has been sort of out publicly more than and talking more than he has in a while in terms of his leadership role and statements that he's made. So I think that things appear to be on a positive trend for him and with the organization, as has been the case for a long time for him. So I think he is the individual who's probably going to make those calls and be the public face of the trade deadline this year. And I think if things go well, it probably bodes well for John Rico to stay in that role in the foreseeable future.
We're talking to John Paul Morosi. You can read his work on MLB.com. Watch him daily on MLB Network's MLB Central. And MLB Network has Red Sox Rangers tonight at 7 o'clock. I want to circle back to one thing because it actually annoys me, even though we're not in Baltimore and I'm certainly not an Oriole fan. Isn't it a disgrace that the Orioles aren't going to re-sign Manny Machado? I mean, seriously, why are they... And I know they're terrible. They're 25-66, yet they play Chris Davis every day because they're paying him a ton of money. He stinks. I'd have a better on-base percentage and batting average and OPS than Chris Davis at this point. But isn't it disgraceful to the Oriole fans, the good Oriole fans that live there, that the Orioles seem so willing to let a 25-year-old superstar that they developed walk out the door?
It's very frustrating, I'm sure, for the Orioles fans, and I think they have a right to be frustrated. Because you're right. You look at it, and you can only spend every dollar one time. You don't get the money back that you're spending on Chris Davis. And I do believe that the money they've spent on Davis is, in many ways, and has, over the last couple of years, stifled any effort they've had to try to sign Machado long-term. Mm. Now, we don't really know, when you look at the big picture, what price point would they have had to hit for him to look around and say, you know what, this team obviously is fallen down the standings in the American League East, and I think it's going to be a while before they're good again. They had a nice run of several years. Actually, I think for 4 years or so, they had the most wins in the American League over a four-year span. But clearly, the Yankees and Red Sox are back on top, and it's going to be a long time before that team is good again. And Manny, to the extent that winning is important to him, and I believe it is important to him, he may not want to stay there anyway at this point in time. Now, if this was 2 years ago when they were playing better and it was a more of a credible conversation to have about where they were standing as an organization, I think you're right. Then I think that the Davis deal came in after 15, and that was right around the time when, if you were going to make a long-term extension with Machado, you would have been doing it right at that point in time. So I think that you can absolutely criticize the front office for not being more aggressive with Machado on an extension, and obviously spending some of that same money on Chris Davis, who is, by all rights, guys, having literally one of the worst statistical seasons we have seen in recent memory as a major league player. So it's frustrating for the Orioles and their fans, but I agree. I think they could have been a bit more proactive to sign a guy who has been an extraordinary player as a homegrown Oriole for many, many years.
All right, before we let you go, I'm talking to John Paul Morosi. Okay, Bryce Harper, where's he going as a free agent, and what about the Nationals? I mean, what a disappointment. We love it as Met fans. That's one thing I can hang my head on because I hate the Nationals. But, I mean, what about where they are right now and what's going to happen to Bryce Harper?
So this is a very interesting topic, certainly being debated around the game. And I would say this, that the way he has played in the first half has brought his value down to a spot where the Nationals may have a better chance of signing him than I thought they would have when the season began. I still think there's a pretty healthy chance he signs somewhere else, but he's now potentially more within the Nationals' price range. That being said, I've heard from agents, not Scott Boras, so not his agent, other agents impartially, that tell me that because of the number of teams that have spending power this winter and the way that the analytical modeling is very, very charitable to Bryce, that he's still going to get a deal that's $250, $275, maybe even $300. That even though he's batting in the lower 200s, that he's still going to get that deal. So this is going to be one of the more intriguing free agencies I've ever seen, because there's a lot of competing emotions and lines of thought here. But he's had a very frustrating year. The takeaway, though, is as frustrating as the Nationals have been up until recently, at least the last week or so, they've been better. The way that he's played may actually be bringing him right back into their price range this winter.
Interesting. John, we appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great month ahead. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks
for having
John.
The show. Appreciate it.
John Paul Morosi, MLB.com, MLB Network. One thing about Bryce Harper, because I think he's been anointed the greatest player to ever play the game.
Well,
the greatest.
There has been some anointing there, yes.
If you look at Bryce's numbers since he's come into the league, he has become, as odd as it is, an every other year player. Because 3 years ago, 2016, he did not have a great year. In fact, he's having a better year this year than he even did back in 2016. Now, last year, he was amazing. He had a very good year. 2 years before that, he was the MVP of the league. So since 2014, really, it's been really good, really good, That's what he's been. Now, he's still young. I get it. He's still a young guy. He's 25 years old, going to be 26 at the end of the season. So he's still young and in the prime of his career. But he's been inconsistent. That's what his career has been.
Well, he's got the power, though. He's got over 20. What's he got, 21 homers?
He has 22 home runs.
22, and how many RBIs?
He has 51 RBIs. He's hitting 218.
Right. No, I know he's hitting 218.
It's not that his
numbers... He also leads the league in walks. He's got like 76 walks.
Yes, he leads the league in walks.
Right.
He does do that.
Right.
It's not that he's a bad baseball player.
No.
It's that he's not as good as he was last year and not as good as he was 2 years before that. He's had amazing years to pretty good years to an amazing year to a pretty good year. He's been inconsistent. That's what he's been. Now, at the end of the day, is he still going to hit 30 home runs? Yeah. Is he still going to have an OPS of 850 or higher? Probably, which is pretty good, which you take for most guys. But he's been inconsistent. That's what his career has been.
I wonder if he's happy there. You know, I wonder.
I don't know what's going through his mind. I don't know. Hey, he may be one of those guys who's actually better off just taking a one-year deal. He's young enough where
he signs
a one-year deal and has an MVP kind of year.
Right.
Maybe he then can get the mega contract he wants.
Yeah, you're right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.